on capetalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DStv channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM.
Join the conversation.
This is Cape Talk.
It's the last lap. It's the last lap through till 12 o'clock. My mother swears by it. Brick and mortar is a dignified home. and that's a paradigm for a whole lot of us. We can't think ourselves outside of that kind of reality. But the reality is that other materials are being used to build housing, affordable housing, quality housing, may I add. Well, insulated housing there. I know of a couple of inventors that have really applied their minds to and have come up with really innovative stuff in the process. And we're going to be celebrating one such innovative response to our housing needs at the moment. The Empower Shack is a dwelling designed by Urban Think Tank. I've got my tongue tied in a total tot today. I think I'm palad. Urban Think Tank in collaboration with Ikayalami. It's made out of materials such as wood and iron sheeting and can be self-built. It has two stories as well, but it could be expanded to three. The vertical building has a smaller footprint than typical informal houses. And Ben Kuna joins me on the line, Khayelitsha's Empower Shack Project, our focus. Welcome, Ben, via Zoom.
Hi. It's afternoon. In fact, good morning.
Yes, it is good morning. I lose the plot a little bit when it comes to 12 o'clock. I don't know if it's morning or afternoon. But Ben Kuna, thank you for your time to come and share with us this Empower Shack project. It's been focused around Khayelitsha. We've heard some of the details, but this is really about breaking this crazy little dependence on brick and mortar, is it not?
Yeah, it is. But it is even more than that. Basically, the concept came from the fact that if you look at Khayelitsha and the surrounding townships in Cape Town and all over the country, the informality grows. People build houses out of shacks and bad material, resulting in disasters such as fire and floods. So, and one of the reasons is the frustration of the fact that the housing delivery is very slow and people are flooded to cities to look for greener pastures, and they end up filling the backyards and ultimately occupy any piece of land they see and build temporary shelters in there, which is quite extremely disastrous. So the Empower came as a concept where we wanted to see if we cannot improve people in informal settlement by rearranging the way they live and create double story and reducing the footprint that they occupy on the ground and create something where the city can come and provide the basic infrastructure, but we provide the top structure that is livable using zinc material that is very strong and fire resistant, but also create firewalls to avoid expensive costs. So each family ultimately end up having a double story house, which is slightly bigger than what they had as a shack, because many of them releases quite a lot of space by going upstairs.
Yeah.
And ultimately, toilets and sanitation and things that were put outside the settlements in a street are now inside the houses.
Understood. Now, I just wanted to talk about brick and mortar. So the city responds, or the Department of Housing responds, to build brick and mortar houses, which also takes a long time to build. And the backlog gets more expensive and it takes longer to build. And this is as you heard, it can be self-built. Now, I want to understand something. You say there's the structure that goes up. It's got multiple stories. And then you're expecting the infrastructure to be supplied by the city. You're talking bulk services to be supplied by the city?
Yes, the bulk services are supplied by the city, and the top structures supplied by us through fundraising initiatives to try and develop people where they live. So the power of the whole concept is that no one is relocated, because there is also a scarcity of land. One of the reasons why there is backlog is that when the city has to build RDP for people, firstly, they have to have a headache of getting a land, an empty land somewhere, and some they have to buy from the existing farmers and so on, which is a serious headache, local and national, especially in the cities. So the concept is to say, look, you can develop people where they are. you can develop them and make them better because they go double story and they create space. You have PlayStations and so on. You develop a village where they are, and it's even better than the sort of buying of land, because you use very little space to put so many people. And then the second advantage is that these people are there for quite a long time, 20, 30 years. So they're in the vicinity of their own schools, clinics, and so on. By making sure that they stay there, you are not actually inconveniencing them. Because in the RDP concept, you find that where they're going, there's no school, or they have to get into a new school. They need to arrange transport for that. And maybe it's even far away from their workplace.
I'm chatting to Ben Kuna, General Manager of Programs and Finance at Ikayalami via Zoom, of course. And it's about the Empire Shack project based in Khayelitsha, offering residents an alternative affordable housing model for former shack dwellers. It's designed and built by this Khayelitsha-based non-profit organization, Ikayalami, in collaboration with Design Studio Urban Think Tank. So it's double-story homes, and you're saying you don't need to displace the people while you're building. It's that piece that I didn't quite understand, Ben.
No, we do not displace them when they, you know, like the in this project, we have 72 families living in shacks. So after building, all 72 families stay in the same place. They all got units in the same place. But when we're building, we do it in phases, and each phase will consist of 15 to 20 families. So we have our material that we build TRAs, temporary houses, housing units, while they are waiting for the houses to be built. And each time we finish a phase, they go back, and then the next phase, the next group, which is 15 to 20, goes into those TRAs. So in other words, when you build 15 TRAs, and you can do houses in 15 in sets of 15. The people are able to stay in the TRAs phase after phase after phase until you complete. So you only do TRAs once you start the project. Some people who have bigger families end up staying with the families until the project, until the houses are finished, because they take up to 6 to 8 months for each phase. So some people are able to be accommodated for that period until the houses are complete. But others are staying in the temporary housing arrangement that we do.
Okay, so just if you want to imagine what Ben Kuna, General Manager of Programs and Finance at Ikayalami, if you want to just imagine what they are building. So it is double-story homes ranging from 42.5 square meters to 80 square meters, and it's already happening in Site C in Khayelitsha. A total of 73 homes have been built on the same site where the families previously lived in shacks. This is the opportunity. You mentioned the city supplying the bulk services and you building everything on top, and I get the sense that it's self-financed as well. How do you achieve that?
We actually try and work with international communities to deal with elimination of informal settlements. And there's quite a number of them that are interested in doing that.
Are you saying and there's no cost to the fiscus?
Well, not at all. Not except that the bulk services
apart
are provided
by
the city. Mm. Yeah. And in the model, 90% of the funding comes from international communities, and we ask the community to pay up to 10% of the value of the building, which they can pay over a period of time, normally between 40 and 72 months. It's not even 5 years.
So
they pay very little amount in there. So there is contribution that is made by the beneficiaries themselves, up to 10% of the cost of the building.
And this innovation, this technology, this new thinking on housing comes from Switzerland, I believe. You want to give us some background into its origins?
Well, not necessarily from Switzerland. So let me talk to how it came about. So Ikayalami has always been working in informal settlement since 2006. So what we did is we responded to fires. Each time a house burnt down or some houses burnt down, we go there and rebuild those houses using fire retardant material. So it's a material that you can build the house in one day, rebuild the shack in one day, and it doesn't burn and it doesn't allow water to come in, and it doesn't allow, it's a clip. It doesn't allow tow bars to open it, so people feel safe when they're at work.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that. And in doing that, we always did what we call reblocking. So reblocking has always been trying to rearrange the shacks so that there is spaces to enter the informal settlement when there is emergency, also create spaces for children to play. That has been happening since 2006, but we were doing it on a bottom structure, not top structure, but we managed to create spaces. So when Urban Think Tank came to South Africa and they saw the work that we did, in the discussion, there came an idea of saying, well, we can do more better reblocking, advanced reblocking by going double story. Mm. And at that point in time, we already built some few double stories, but not in a reblocking kind of a concept. We built some few double stories. So we had an experience of building double stories using the zinc material.
Yeah.
And then the UTT, Urban Think Tank, and IKLM agreed that we'll do a project, do double stories using the zinc material. And the city was very excited to hear this idea. And they said, why don't you do firewalls on the sides? Continue to use the zinc material, go double story, but do firewalls. Because the idea from the city was that if you do it that way, over the time, it will be incremental. In other words, it will comply to be a formal resident. So it's no longer going to be an informal settlement. So you're not going to possibly take people out of that. And if the city doesn't, or the government doesn't have money to complete or remove the zinc in between, the residents can do that. So finish out the houses. So that's the whole idea. So it was already an idea that was there in South Africa. And UTT came in and came with a concept of saying, let's go double story. And we already had double story, but let's do reblocking using double story because we can create more spaces and make it the project much more viable.
Well, I hope you are acknowledged for that contribution to the IP, because I think it really is a great solution and it fits in with our needs very, very snugly. When you look at the scale of your rollout at this moment in time, you're looking at 73 units. One would expect a little more enthusiasm and for this to go out at 100 a day kind of thing at least.
Well, right now we're in collaboration. I don't want to talk about more about what is planned, but we have identified 10 more settlements, much bigger than the 73 families kind of setup. So in the next few years, you might see quite a lot of rollout of this kind of project because it has attracted a lot of attention internationally and locally. And the chances are very strong that it will be supported because it changes the way people live, but also it changes how the cities look, especially from the sort of apartheid kind of belief that, you know, the city belongs to a certain group of people and the township belongs to a certain group of people. And therefore, the visibility of such discrepancy could be seen. So this is a major, major change to how people look at informal settlement and look at the people living in those appalling conditions. So we're looking at possibility of rolling this kind of project on a bigger scale than we did.
Yeah, and the needs are absolutely beyond South Africa as well. You mentioned earlier that 10% of the costs above land must be carried by the community. The question is it the occupant of that particular house that you refer to as the community?
Yes. Okay. Like, for example, the smallest unit would be about 300,000 rand. So in other words, the family member would be expected to pay about 30,000 rands over a period. They can choose how they. And the financing is so flexible that it recognizes the fact that some people might not even have a job or maybe any grant. Mm. So you can even choose to pay even much longer. And the interest is only 1% per annum.
Wow.
So it's more of just allowing people to also make contribution and feel part of their own development and feel part that they also did something to that development. So the idea is not to really sell the units to the people, but to try and see if the people who are advantaged, we have all the advantages, not only locally, can assist the people who are disadvantaged to fill in the gap between sort of rich and poor in a way from the housing point of view.
Ben Kuna, General Manager of Programs and Finance at Ikayalami. We're talking about Khayelitsha's Empower Shack project. A dignified housing is one thing. And I like the fact that you're talking about sustainable cities and communities. Often people just build houses and they don't give effect to sustainable communities. And you have a holistic take on it. But you know, real dignity is about ownership of the land. Tell me about that. Does title come with a key?
So the first project has been completed. At this point in time, we are at an advanced stage with the city of Cape Town and the national government to work out how titling is going to be done, because this is the first kind of this project. So no one knows how the titling. So we're talking about subdivision. And the city of Cape Town mayor and the deputy mayor visited the project, and they're facilitating the possibility of handing over titles. So at this point in time, that has not been done. But the discussions are at an advanced stage, because each of the residents will. So in other words, the land where the development is happening right now as we speak still belongs to the city. It was rezoned from a park because it was for a park, it was rezoned to a residential area. So that process is completed. But the process of issuing title is still ongoing. We hope that it will be resolved in few, because we have monthly meetings with the city on this project and other things that are related to this project. And there's on how we should go forward.
The concept of title is a paradigm. Okay, it's entrenched in law as well, but we're not going to solve our problems if we don't get creative with the concept of title. I get the sense, Ben Kuna, that you are suggesting that minds are open to rethinking title.
Yes, definitely. There is a team of people from the city that is helping us to work around this. There's a team from the Empower, including some legal experts, to work out how this should work. So there is work happening, and there is an understanding that.
Well, I hope I didn't lose you there, Ben. It looks as if he's just kind of disappeared. But it's a fascinating conversation, and I think necessity, kind of breeds a whole lot of kind of thinking and innovation. And there's certain responses to the challenges that we have in South Africa and on the African continent. And this is one brilliant such response to our needs. Of course, the Urban Think Tank in partnership with the Khayelitsha getting a little project together that cost of a unit, double story unit, and we said what, about 42 square meters at about 300,000 rand. I think that's what you said. Ben is back. 300,000, but yeah. You said there are three story units as well. So what kind of variances in building in the homes that you are building are available?
Yeah, we have four different units. But in the future development, we would like to try and make every unit the same size, because to some extent, that is causing a bit of a rift within the community. We based the units on the size that people used to occupy before the project. So in other words, if you occupy it smaller size, the chances are we'll recommend that you get 42.5 square, which is the smallest unit. If you occupy a slightly bigger size, you would go to 56 square. And if you occupy a much bigger size, you'll go to 65 square. And if you go to the very, very big size, and you will go, if you have a much bigger size of the shack, you'd go to 80 square. So most of the people are in between 65 and below, 65 square and below. Only few have above that. So that is not what we think we're going to do in the future. So we're trying to say in the future, we'll try and look at the land and see how we divide it equally to individuals. The chances are we might settle for like 56, 60 square for everyone. Instead of having people having standard, having 80 square and other people having 42 square. However, I should mention that even 42 square is much bigger than what they had as a shack in terms of the house.
Absolutely.
It's even slightly bigger than the current size of many RDP houses. So even the 42 squares actually giving all the space, quite a good space for people to live.
It's bigger than a one-bedroom flat as well, which is an average one-bedroom flat. It's a really nice, dignified living space that we are talking about. Ben, you're saying you're moving from a spot where you're creating 73 units, you're moving into spaces that require multiple units. I'm suspecting hundreds, I'm suspecting maybe even thousands, which means that you must have access to a lot of money from overseas. Why would people be putting this money up for this project from overseas? What do they get? You know, I'm always, what's in it for them?
Well, that's a good question. But there are people who actually are interested in this kind of development.
And it's the love in their heart?
Yeah, in their heart. Definitely.
The love in their heart. That's wonderful.
One of the possible funders that we're talking to that actually says we don't want to hear this 73 and 100. We want to hear in thousands. Is actually prepared to put quite several euros into the project. So we're working on getting, you know, that kind of support. And these are not individuals. These are foundations that are really interested in seeing development, not only in South.
There he goes again. But I've got to say goodbye in any event. We got the gist of it. We're talking, of course, about the Empower Shack project. I think maybe a little blueprint that can bring some relief to housing needs across the country. And love in the heart. No, just giving away millions of euros is one.